The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Monday, November 27th, 2023, season 19, episode number 77. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And today we get to talk about the Cowboys' win on Thanksgiving Day versus the Washington Commanders. They win 45-10, a blowout. A huge game. From the standpoint of just looking at the Cowboys adding another win and trying to keep pace on the possibilities that maybe they can pull closer to the Philadelphia Eagles before that matchup a couple weeks from now. But we'll talk about what happened in this game. We'll also have a little bit of talk on some stuff that's happening around the NFC and a little update on Shaq Leonard. Cowboys seem to have a little interest there, so we'll catch up, figure out what we're hearing about.
It's up to you guys in the building now.
We got to figure it out, get it done.
You guys in the building need to figure it out.
Get it done.
The rest of us outside the building can't help you. It's guys in the building, you need
here
to
we
figure
go.
It out.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this game. Let's start first, go around the table. Let's get some storylines of the game. Let's start with you, Patrick. What was your storyline of this game?
I think for me, one of the biggest storylines is just how prolific Dak Prescott continues to look. I mean, there is a lot of good to take away from this game. But if you look at it from the aspect of he didn't play a perfect game and still had four touchdowns and over 300 yards. I mean, if he, example, if he connects with CeeDee Lamb on that deep route down the middle early in the game, that's one example of a throw that he definitely wants back. I mean, this might be a five-plus touchdown game, 400 yards. So it just goes to show that the Cowboys, you know, can continue, if they can continue to be resilient and when things don't go their way, particularly on offense, if they can just, you know, stick with what's working for them, then they can absolutely continue to be dominant. The play calling from Mike McCarthy, I was just in love with it. The way he tortured some of those mixed coverages, some of the zone looks that he was getting. You know, talk about that touchdown down the seam to Kevontae Turpin. It put the defensive back in another bind, something that we've seen happening here recently. Ferguson Schoonmaker touchdown, that was another example, making the defensive back have to choose, knowing that whichever one he chooses, it's a touchdown either way. So as long as the protection continues to hold up and they continue to be resilient and the play calling continues to be what it is, along with execution, I love what this offense can be.
Yeah. Offensive creativity. I mean, yeah. Patrick talks about it, but if you look at what they were able to do, they're continually finding ways to manipulate the defenses. The pass to Ferguson, empty set, three wide receivers. You line up on the right side. You know, as Ferguson's going vertically, then you know Turpin goes out, and now you're moving people. The flip play to Pollard on third and six, you know, in order to get the ball to the edge, and how you bring guys in motion to get the blocker out in front. The Dowdle screen was a really creative play call at the time. Kick, lead, peel, boom. It's a touchdown right there with your blockers. You know, and then he mentioned the Turpin touchdown. You know, it's you know, when you put people in a situation where you run, you know, you get trips formation, three to one side, run two to the out, and they all vacate, and now you have a speech. And the Commanders did something. They gambled on the play. They tried to run. They took their safety curl and put him as a linebacker like he was going to blitz, and then they tried to drop him in coverage, and Dak saw it all the way. Mm-hmm. He's like, listen, if you're going to play too deep and put that guy on my slot player and make it like you're trying to disguise it, I'm going to make you pay for it. And that's what they did. You're starting to see a lot more creativity with this offense when it comes to how they manipulate the play in order to allow their receivers and their backs to have success.
To me, three things that kind of stood out were, one, consistency. That now, and we've been talking about this every week now, that it's just becoming something that is more consistent of this offense, where you can see trends of them doing it. You mentioned Dak, him being that quarterback consistently showing up from since that game against the 49ers. Everything took turn there. than the running game. That's something we've been talking about on the show as well, and something I've had my eyes on. And Tony Pollard, he ended up the night with 79 yards, which is still it's pretty good. And then you add on a sprinkle of Rico Dowell there. He only had like 11 yards, not much, but still the incorporation.
Dak running still like having, you always ask.
Having them, Dak, just the running game as a whole. And then also the ability of seeing of them utilizing multiple weapons that now you're not solely relying on one on CeeDee Lamb, let's say.
Right.
You're not solely relying on CeeDee Lamb or let's say a Brandon Cooks. Now you're seeing them consistently using multiple weapons with the help of a little bit of the running game added on top of there.
Yeah, he hit so many different weapons in that game. And it kind of, to me, it's just one of those things where I just love the fact that especially like the Turpin play was the one that kind of showed me if you're going to, and you have to, if you're an opposing team, you have to pay attention to those guys that are on the perimeter. You got to pay attention to CD, got to pay attention to Cooks. He's getting going. Got to pay attention to the tight end. If your fourth cornerback or third cornerback or whatever is going to have to try to deal with Turpin, good luck with that, right? There's not a lot of teams that have that level of depth. Yeah. And that's where this offense can really go. They got a ton of offensive weapons, and now they're using all of them.
Turpin ran basically a 40-yard dash on that play.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and the way that he was able to and give Dak a lot of credit because he saw it was too deep, and he knows if he's sending Turpin through the middle of that defense, you know, the Commander's trying to cover it kind of a funny way there, but you know, that's what you do. You put pressure on these teams to have to deal with you in that way. And Ambar's right. It's just not CD. It's you know, you got Cook. I think it's the second straight game where Cooks led the group in reception and yards and stuff like that. So, you know, good for them to continue to get things. I think that this was a game too that Pollard, we're starting to see it where maybe things are coming back to him. You know, we all like the next gen stuff, those 15 plus mile an hour runs and stuff. He had several of them in this game, that explosiveness, the way to get him to the edge, to around the corner and stuff like that. It was all not the heavy lifting in the middle, but it was more on the outside and the edge, and they were really able to take advantage of that.
And also, what, you know, kind of going back to what Brian was saying, when it comes to the creativity, the play calling, it's really getting fun as far as even pre-snap, because, you know, we talked about it quite a bit as far as the Cowboys ramping up their use of pre-snap motion and how it directly correlates over the past five, six games with their offensive explosiveness. Obviously, execution matters as well. But you look at what they did against the Commanders, almost 70% of their offensive snaps pre-snap had some sort of motion involved. So the Cowboys have, and Mike McCarthy have completely leaned into it, and to the point where now they're right up there rivaling the likes of like Kyle Shanahan and how often he runs pre-snap motion. So if you love to see that from the Cowboys, and you should, because it reveals where the mismatches might be pre-snap, then that's another reason that this Cowboys offense should continue to be consistent in what they're doing.
They had a 3rd-and-6 play where, if you remember, Lamb came back for the ball and ended up getting 14 yards in the play, motion left to right. So they're doing things to not allow people to bracket or double cover Lamb, but they're also knowing, okay, on 3rd-and-6, we want to get him the football, so let's get him on the move. He goes past the sticks, comes back for the ball, breaks a tackle like he seems to do all the time, and you get 14 yards. You know, they're just looking to get a first down. That turns into a 14-yard play. All started because of left to right motion to get him going up the field.
And it's also, when you're talking about guys like CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Kevontae Turpin, this motion helps them in their skill set as well, because you're not asking them to go from zero to having to beat the guy off the press or whatever the case may be. They're already in motion. They're already moving. Legs are already moving. So it's much easier to go from second gear to sixth gear than from, you know, first gear to sixth gear. So when you add in that capacity as well, I mean, it's working, and I believe it'll continue to do so.
Yeah, I think one of the things that fans need to do is they need to give some credit to Mike McCarthy, because
for years, fans have been
clamoring for scheming guys open, figuring out ways to get guys open and not just relying on we can beat you because our guys are better.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing right now. You're seeing this scheme and the scheme of what they're trying to do. You see the offense actually creating opportunities for guys to get open, and then they're taking advantage of it. The quarterback's taking advantage. The receivers are taking advantage of it. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Mike McCarthy, and that's not something that always happens with fans. They just got to make sure they take the time to give that credit to Mike McCarthy.
Well, now that it's kind of starting to work out, you know,
now we'll give him a
Now that it's finally clicking and it's working now, you know, you take a seat back and you're like, okay, I guess that was pretty quick, and the fact that he was able to turn things around, you know.
But they were not very good the first five games.
Right. Absolutely not.
And
absolutely,
and we were
not.
All questioning. There was like, a lot of questions to this new offense.
Yes.
But so, now you think of five games, looking like, okay, when you're making a change like that big, that's fair. Five games should be kind of. The grace of like, okay, it took this long to make.
I think
this.
We're at the point now where we can say, just let Mike cook.
Okay,
just
so
let him cook.
I got a bigger question for y'all. Looking at how this offense performed over the last 2 years, this has been an offense that has always been in the top of the league. Mm-hmm. Like, they're consistently there when Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator. Do you think this version of the offense is better than the version last year and the year before?
Yes.
I do.
That's quick.
I do. And I do for the reason maybe – not for the running game aspect of it, but what they're doing throwing the football. And I think your quarterback plays better in this kind of where you create opportunities for him. And I'm not saying you have to scheme guys open all the time, because that two-point play, he threw that thing through a hole. That we've seen that ball get intercepted
that
before with
nuts.
Dak. You know, and I honestly believe he wanted to throw the ball off the pick to Ferguson on the drag. And he pulled it back and give Lamb a lot of credit for keep running his route, because he found a hole. But man, if you tell me that I think the passing game is better because of the way the combinations of the routes are scheming guys open. Mm-hmm. But I think we're still trying to kind of figure out that running game from the old days.
It took me a moment. I had to really assess it. I'm going to go with yes also. I think that obviously the run game was better, I want to say back in the day, but over the past couple of seasons. But when you compare the passing attack, it's not even that it's simply a three-headed attack, which is what everyone was kind of looking toward. Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. Well, it's really CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jake Ferguson, Jalen Tolbert, Michael Gallup, Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Brooks. I mean, you have all these weapons. And then if Schoonmaker can start to contribute as a receiver as well, you combine that with, what are we talking about, pre-snap motion and creativity and the play calling and misdirection. And then what else are we talking about? Dirty Dak has arrived. He's using his legs. He's extending plays. He's making it hard on defensive backs with long coverage windows against highly skilled receivers. So in that capacity, in those capacities, absolutely this is a better offense.
Well, the offensive line. Making it easy on you too right now.
Finally.
Yeah, they really are.
There was a time this season that we didn't know if that would come
around.
Right?
There was a lot of big questions there about, you know, and to me it's when your center plays better and your right tackle plays better, this offensive line's generally pretty good.
And to that point, if you go back and you look at the Kevontae Turpin touchdown, Terrence Steele, Zach Martin, they gave Dak Prescott just enough time to read do the pump fake to drag the DB to the right to Cooks and then release that ball to Kevontae Turpin. If that protection breaks down, that touchdown doesn't happen. Maybe he dumps it off to Ferguson on the right. Maybe he dumps it off to Pollard on the left in the release. And maybe you get the first down, but you don't get that touchdown.
They had a deal too, and I believe it was one of the plays where it was 3rd and 11. Just remembering plays from the day, and Cooks caught the ball inside, and he's running a route where Dak flushes left, and Tyron Smith just pins everybody to the inside. And Tyron Smith, by pinning everybody there, that gets Prescott to the edge, and now he's able to set his feet and make the throw. So here you are, you throw a ball for a 3rd and 11 play, it ends up being a 25-yard gain, you know, because your quarterback's mobility, your receiver's smart enough to find the hole in the zone, and then also the quarterback also sets his feet and makes a really, really nice throw. And you get that pin, everybody pinned to the inside there on the pass rush.
And Dak wasn't sacked a single time.
Two games in a row now, right?
You're right.
I was going to say the biggest difference to me between the two schemes and the changes is just the way Dak is playing as a whole. Because even with Kellen Moore, we saw creative plays. We saw them filling up the stat sheets, you know, being the top NFL offense in the NFL.
Right.
We saw them utilizing different weapons as well. But now the way Dak is playing, to me, it just gives everything else like a whole sense, like a different sense of confidence and comfort level on the field. Like you go out there and you can trust him. Yep. And not that you couldn't trust him before, mm-hmm. and he's always been a great leader, but there's just something a whole, like, just different. And I get it, like, the running game is still missing, and you do need to keep improving on that. And I like to think it's more of the injuries that have happened, and maybe that's what's kind of messed up your running game as a whole. But also, it's just, I just see everything leading back to Dak and just being more comfortable and using his legs and running and him just having a really, being able to connect with his receiver so well, like knowing now where this player is going to land and get there, some of those long, deep passes down the field. I mean, he's shown a lot more of that happening this year.
They haven't turned the ball over to,
and that too,
which really helps.
I think Dak's channeling his girl dad energy. I think that's what's really going on.
Shout out to him. Congratulations,
yeah. Congratulations
on the baby
to
soon
him
to come.
Sarah, yes.
Your life is changing forever, young man. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that running game. And is this running game, at least what we saw from Tony Pollard this game, is that what the offense really needs? Is it a little different than what they had last year? But is that sufficient for what they need in order to be effective? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Experience the most electrifying event of the holiday season. It's the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza, powered by Reliant. Every Friday and Saturday night now through December 16th, the Cowboys Christmas Extravaganza ignites the star in Frisco with an unforgettable holiday performance showcasing 65 performers, including the world-renowned Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, Santa Claus, and appearances from your favorite Dallas Cowboy football heroes. Visit thestardistrict.com for more info.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com.
Did we take Mrs. Claus out of this one?
Did we?
Did she go back home?
I don't think so.
I thought there was a couple of reads before Mrs.
Hey,
Claus.
If Mr. Claus is here, my guess is Mrs. Claus is here as well.
Maybe they realized I can't read this read very well, and they'd start taking words out of it. That's, I think, what they did right there.
I don't think that's what they did.
Mrs. Claus was not there on Friday night, just letting you know.
Oh. Okay. I thought Mrs. Claus.
They let her go home?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was part of it. She was part of the original stuff. So.
Santa was there, though.
Yeah, Santa was there.
All right. Maybe she just got Santa set up, and then she's like, I got other things to do.
Got
to get out of here. All right, let's talk about the running game. Tony Pollard, this game, had 13 carries for 79 yards, a 6.1 average, really good average. One touchdown, then had another six receptions for 24 yards. All in all, for fantasy players out there, a really great fantasy day. But that being said, is this what this offense really needs from the running back position? I mean, these aren't gaudy numbers, but these are numbers that maybe this is what the offense needs if you're throwing the ball as well as the Cowboys are throwing the ball. Maybe this is what you need from the running back. So what do you guys think?
I agree with that. I mean, we mentioned several times on the podcast that I, specifically me, I know that I feel like the Cowboys should continue to use the pass to set up the run until further notice, you know, until a defense presents itself that forces you to flip that, continue to use the pass to set up the run. And doing that, all you need the run to do, the run offense to be, is effective enough to make the opposing defense respect it. That's all you need it to be. You also need your running backs to be able to be receivers out of the backfield as well. Tony Pollard can do that. You saw Rico Dowdle. He can do that with the touchdown on the quick screen. You know that you can get some flex out of Hunter Lipke if you were to do that as well. So really all you need is from your running backs three things. One, be excellent in pass pro because, again, you're trying to set up the run with the pass. Second, make sure that when they are taking the handoffs, that is respectable gains. Doesn't have to be tearing off 6-7 yards a game. Just respectable. 4.5, that should do it. And then the third thing is be an effective receiver out of the backfield, and that'll keep opposing defenses from adding guys to the box. And if you know, can add them to the box, and that just helps you out from the run game. So one hand washes the other.
Yeah, I think if it's that type of performance, I'll take that every week. Oh, I mean, it works out perfectly. And I'm okay with that type of running game performance.
Especially on the 40 burgers.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But it does concern me. I'm trying to think, okay, what matchup? But I still don't feel like you can solely rely on or depend on the running game. That is still an unknown. Like, you know, we were talking about consistency. I can feel like the Cowboys can consistently show up with Dak Prescott in the passing game.
True.
The running game, that's a different story. You don't know. That's a gamble. That's a whole gamble. You don't know if it's going to work out or not just yet. But the good thing and the promising thing is that it's starting to trend upwards and you're starting to see improvement. But they still need to get better. Don't get me wrong. And I'll take that all day. But it's just something that I don't think can be relied on.
I don't know if they can kill a game, a close game, if they had to. If they had to get into a four-minute offense and kill this game. I don't know if they can do that right now because they play so many blowout games. I do know on 3rd and 6 they can get 14 yards if it's blocked well and the runner explodes the way he did on the edge.
Yeah.
They're running some toss stuff. They seem to be playing perimeter football, which I think is really, really good. I like that. I'm with Amber. I'll take the 100 yards a game for sure, but I'm not sure I can hang my hat on finishing a game if I had to. If it was close and you got the ball and we got to get 3 first downs and this thing's over, I don't know if they can do that right now with the way the running game currently is.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I also think the other challenge will be what happens when you get into a game where you can't throw. And what I mean by that is the weather doesn't allow you to throw. We know that game's coming up here in December where they're going to have to travel to Buffalo. I don't know how many people saw this weekend. I was watching that Kansas, I think it was the Kansas State, Iowa State.
Yeah.
And the whole field is white and snow is just like you can't really even see everything completely. And I was thinking, December in Buffalo, that looks like that could be a possibility. And you get into a game like that. Yeah. You got to run the ball. There is no throwing the ball downfield like the Cowboys are doing right now in those kind of conditions by and large. So if you get in one of those games, can you run the ball?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think in Buffalo, you worry about the cold, but you worry about the wind.
Yeah.
That's another one. That's going to affect a passing game quite a bit there. And, you know, I give Josh Allen a lot of credit yesterday. The conditions in Philadelphia were
pretty
awful,
bad.
And he was throwing the ball around pretty well. You know, but he's used to that. He played at Wyoming. You know, Buffalo's his home now. You know, these quarterbacks, they adapt. But, yeah, it does affect your ability to move the ball when you have to deal with elements. And mainly to me, throwing the ball has always been wind. That's the one that kind of gets you.
Yeah. And that's one you definitely can face when you get up to Buffalo in December.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. All right, let's talk about the offensive line. Yesterday, Dak was not sacked at all. He only got hit twice.
Yeah.
Thursday.
I'm way off. And then Pollard, obviously, we talked about the day that he had. Talk to me specifically about the interior offensive linemen, Tyler Smith, Tyler Biadasz, and Zach Martin. How did they do against those two big defensive tackles?
That was a big win because I believe you only got one pressure off the pass rushes that you had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So going into that game, I know on 105.3 The Fan on the pregame show that we do, one of the things I felt like if the Cowboys were going to have success on offense, it was going to be on Martin, Biadasz, and Smith to be able to hold up against the inside two. I wasn't so concerned about what was going on the edges with this Commanders defense. It was inside, but the amount of dropbacks you had and the lack of pressure there, the hits and all that, I think they did a really, really nice job of holding up inside. You just worry about those two guys pushing the pocket and affecting it, and Dak had no problem at all. Even there were a couple times where he got to step up and throw balls. So helmet stickers for those three guys for the way they played against those two Commanders tackles.
Yeah, it's one of the best, you know, interior tandems in the entire NFL, and you could put them up against anyone, and they'll probably have a phenomenal day. So to see how well Tyler Biadasz played and Tyler Smith continues to just play lights out. And we talked about Zach Martin and a couple cracks in the armor, but the armor looked pretty good on Thanksgiving against some of the best and strongest interior defensive linemen in the entire league. So like Brian said, helmet stickers to those guys, because Dak Prescott really had some time in that pocket as far as the interior, which then forced the issue to the edges, and the Commanders don't have the horses at the edges anymore.
No,
they don't have Chase Young or Montez Sweat. So winning on that interior basically set the Cowboys up for success.
There was really only one negative play. Pollard got trapped behind the line for a loss. But, man, Biadasz, my man Martin, we interviewed Zach Martin today on the radio. I think he left his buddy Tyler Biadasz out on an island on that one. It was a real wide technique there, and Allen was able to get it. And Zach's like, I'm going around him. And poor Biadasz is like – like he's trying, but you know, Allen got in the backfield, and it was really one of the only negative plays that you saw that those guys made against you.
Well, we had plenty of discussions, wondering how long it would take for this O line to start being in sync and on the same page.
Games.
It was about four games. Yeah, which is about right with a lot of what you guys were saying and Nate was saying on his show, but they just seem like they're in sync now. They're not. Everybody seems to be on the same page and knows what the other one is doing. So it's not that whole, and also not getting beat one on one, which happened a whole lot in the last several weeks.
Philadelphia with the right tackle was was kind of a
tough
game. They had several games where you could see just one-on-one battles of guys just getting beat, which is not common. It's very uncommon for these guys. They have experience, and they're big, tough guys that know what they're doing, but something was off. Either way, the point is they're in sync now, and everybody is holding up their own job and doing their own thing.
They're going to need these guys to play now. Now starts Thursday, the run where you're going to have to be really good up front.
Yep.
If they're going to compete for the division title, it's going to have to be with those guys the way that they play.
Yep. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, we're going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Man, some interesting things to talk about there, including a record-breaking day for De'Ron Bland. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, You heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the Playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code COWBOYSVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Tis the season for youth football and dance camps presented by Invisalign. Don't miss your chance to learn from Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and former NFL players at AT&T Stadium on December 22nd and 23rd. Celebrate the holidays with the Cowboys. Register today at dallascowboys.com/camps.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of the break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. And now we got to talk about the defense. And I'm kind of remiss that we've gotten to the third segment and haven't mentioned De'Ron Bland.
It's because he deserves his own segment.
There you go. This man has broken the NFL record for the number of pick sixes in a season now with 5. In my opinion, he should be. I don't care what else happens the rest of the year. He should be Defensive Player of the Year, but that's neither here nor there. Talk to me first about De'Ron Bland and what he's meant to this team so far through this to this point in the season.
Wow. I mean, that sums it up for me thus far. When you look at this is a second-year guy who flew out of the gates as a rookie, led the team in interceptions with 5, but that was at nickel. Come into this season, he's at nickel again. You lose Trayvon Diggs. He immediately gets bounced to the outside. Question is, can he even remotely fill the shoes of Trayvon Diggs, who's a record-setting cornerback in his own right? And here he is, 5 pick sixes later, that question has been answered just magnificently. So he's playing fantastic football. He's your resident ball hawk. You have a lot of ball hawks, but he is him when it comes to hawking the ball. But what's even more insane is it's not just the interceptions. It's the fact that he keeps finding the end zone after he gets the interception. That pick six against the Commanders, he looked like a punt returner after he got that interception. The way he set up Sam Howell with the angles and forced him to turn the wrong way and then forced 2 wide receivers to collide into each other a la Mike Vick in Minnesota in the playoffs. I mean, I don't have enough adjectives to describe how great the Cowboys need to feel about De'Ron Bland. And there's still several games left to play in this regular season. So might we get 6? Might we get 7? It's insane. It's insane what he's doing. So I hope everyone's enjoying this in real time, because you're going to look back on this years and years from now and realize that you'll probably never see anything like this again.
Yeah, when I'm sitting on a couch, my teeth falling off, and I'll be like, oh, yes, to my little grandkids, yes, I was there.
I was in the press box when that happened.
And the interesting thing about the press box, you know, there's no cheering in the press box. But when I tell you the press box kind of exploded a little bit, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he caught it. And then, like, is he going to take – oh, my – and then people are just, like, losing their minds. It was actually a really cool moment, because you're not supposed to cheer in the press box, but everybody was just amazed by what was happening. Go ahead.
It was absolutely amazing to just live that moment and live his experience, like, enjoy that through his eyes and like his presence. Like, you feel like you're living it with him, even though you had nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. But even when we were out there waiting outside the locker room, you could hear how loud the locker room got, and then cheering. So that is the coolest part of it all. It's just seeing your teammates, how they react to it, how they celebrate you, and such a big win. And such a cool thing. And he's, you know, he's like having to do all these interviews after the game and all kind of nervous, don't know what just to say. But now his right gloves and what else was sent to the Hall of Fame?
Shoes.
His shoes, his cleats. So that's really cool. And one of the things
he wanted. Pick, and now his stuff is sitting in the Hall of Fame.
It's insane.
Like, that's
it's
amazing.
Yeah. And I told him, like, you wanted to be remembered, and now you will
you
be.
You will never
absolutely
be forgotten.
Yeah.
Now you will never be forgotten.
So it's awesome to see great things happen to great people. And he's such a humble, nice guy.
If he doesn't pick that ball off, he had a rough day.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
really did. He
all
had
right,
a rough...
now let's get to the...
yeah. No, seriously, you know, Samuel ran him around a little bit. It was a battle out there. You know, he was targeted 11 times. He gave up 8 receptions overall for 120 yards. You know, those are the things you live with when you play in the National Football League. You're going to come across some receivers that we've talked about this in the build up to the game. Felt like that, you know, McLaurin, and really didn't talk about Samuel a whole hell of a lot. But if you're a Commanders fan, you got to kind of be proud about the way that he played in this game.
Yeah,
you
9 know, catches for 100 yards.
Yeah, he was, and that's the first receiver that the Cowboys have given up that had 100 yards. So, you know, and you have a 300 yard passer on the dot and a 100 yard receiver on the dot. Yeah, and so. It was a rough game for him that way. Anytime you have a corner that has 10 tackles in a game, that usually means they're going after a guy. And they felt like that they can double move him. They felt like, and a lot of teams are doing this now because of how aggressive he plays, you know, and how he's able to position himself to get these interceptions. It's incredible the ball skills he has. But, you know, I'm surprised. I thought that more people would attack Gilmore on the other side. It really hasn't come out that way. It's been more about now Gilmore on the other side against Terry McLaurin. McLaurin caught 1 ball, 6 targets, you know, when you're dealing with that way. So overall, other than Samuel, but they made a point to get Samuel over on Bland in this game. And he's going to have to be ready for that because people feel like that they can move him now. With that aggressiveness he plays with.
So I'll just ask you this question, Brian. Are you okay with the idea of giving up 12 catches for 120 yards or
eight,
whatever?
Eight receptions
for 120 yards.
Yeah.
Giving up that, not giving up a touchdown, though, so you didn't get beat deep, and still having the ability to get those pick sixes. Are you okay with that? Because for that kind of cornerback who's going to take those chances, that means sometimes he's probably going to get beat a little bit, and that definitely means if he's going to have to come up and make the tackle. And it looks like he was making those tackles. It wasn't like he was getting beat deep. Didn't look like he was giving up a lot of big plays. He would just have to rally and tackle. Would you be willing to give that up?
The pick sixes are worth 4 sacks. If you want to play metrics games with that.
Yeah.
If you look at what the percentage of what a pick six means to as opposed to what a sack means, that's like getting 4 sacks.
That's crazy.
So I'm just pointing out that, you know, this kid's an incredible player. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying though, he had a rough day.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to, I'll take the pick sixes all day. I'll take the way he covered. Now, 8 receptions for 120 yards. If one of those is a touchdown or 2 of those is a touchdown, maybe we're talking a different game.
Yep.
But you know, you have to be able to. He is. Teams are not, even though he's had so much success, this team did not shy away from him. And I wonder if other teams are seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm pointing out here. I'm not trying to discount the player at all because he's a hell of a football player. I was more worried about losing a really great slot player than I was. Yeah. Him playing for Diggs was never going to be a question. Who was going to be in the slot? That was my question right there.
Yeah.
So he's got to be ready that these teams are going to work on him. You know, and he'll make them pay, but he needs to be ready for that.
When you look at a Curtis Samuel, I think of him as a very skilled guy that knows how to get open, can work in the slot some. What are the kind of guys do the Cowboys face that maybe teams say, because you said they made a concerted effort to make sure they got him on the Bland. I think of a guy like DeVonta Smith, but what would be another guy that maybe the Cowboys have to play that you look at and you're like, that's the kind of player you'd have to be aware of if they're going to do those kinds of things?
Maybe Hill.
Yeah.
You know, Hill. Waddle, all those guys that can really, really run.
Yeah.
You know, because what happens is their speed will make you nervous. You know, their ability, if all of a sudden they fake like they're breaking in on an in cut and you have to chase that down, and Bland can chase. But, you know, we're talking about some guys with some elite speed. Mm-hmm. So, if you know, the whole thing about selling routes is, you know, Samuel did a really good job of selling his routes. And it forced Bland to have to kind of got put in some bad situations there. But you're going to play some teams. I mean, what about at Buffalo with Diggs?
Yeah.
You know, and that crew. And then there's the Gabe Davis, is it?
Gabe Davis, yeah.
Gabe Davis is a, you know, there's guys that – can make plays. They're going to face some wide receivers down the stretch here that I think that they're all going to have to be on their A games.
Yep. All right, real quick before we end the show, Patrick, what do we know right now about Shaq Leonard?
He's scheduled to be in the facility here this week, early this week, obviously. If not tomorrow, which is correct me, tomorrow's Tuesday, yeah. Okay, per multiple reports, it'll be tomorrow, but I'm hearing it'll be no later than Wednesday. Obviously, the Cowboys have a game on Thursday, so it won't be then. But Cowboys have a lot of interest in him. Initially, they were doing due diligence on the medical aspect of it, trying to do some digging, seeing what they could come up with there. Obviously, they're at the point where they are satisfied with that portion of it, so they, you know, invited him to come on down. And obviously, the interest is mutual because yesterday he was at the Colts game, so he's catching a flight from Indianapolis to come sit down and talk with Jerry, Steven, McClay in the front office, McCarthy, probably some former teammates, Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cook. So those relationships exist here as well. And the Cowboys, they, as long as those talks bear fruit, I mean, they really do want him. And they are also up against the reality that there are other teams that want him as well, one particularly being in your division who just went 10-1, who might have lost Zach Cunningham.
Yeah.
That'd be the second linebacker.
Correct, yeah. Due to injury. So, yeah. He's scheduled to be here. Cowboys want him to stick around. So fingers crossed, because Brian, myself, Derek, and Ambar, we all want Shaq Leonard. Hey, Shaq, if you're listening,
yeah.
When you get here, stay here. That's how I feel.
Brothers, take care of you. Come on through.
Yeah, I think the one thing you always have to appreciate about the way that Jerry, Steven, Will, Mike, those guys, they recruit very, very well.
Yep.
And usually when they get somebody in the building, Adam Pacifica, the agents usually kind of work things out. So hopefully that'll be the case. You mentioned Philadelphia. I know, was it Josiah Anderson said that Philly wasn't interested. I had people in Philly tell me they were interested. So, everybody's getting information nowadays. But, yeah, the injuries to the Eagles is something that, you know, is now a little bit of a concern to them at the linebacker spot. You clearly saw that late in the game that Buffalo was able to run the ball inside, and they just weren't good enough to defend the run. I don't think they want to get into the playoffs with a leaky defense when it comes to running the ball. They have those two big inside tackles, and they got Fletcher Cox that's even nicked up right now, too. So they might be in a little bit of a bad spot there with the injuries.
When you start thinking about it, really, their secondary is probably the weakest part of that defense. Now, if you add linebacker to that, now you got some real problems on that defense. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think they would probably be in the mix. But what I do love is you put Jerry in a situation where he's got to sell. Hey, man, I'll put him up against almost anybody when he's got to sell.
Never seen him lose. Never seen him lose one of those.
They have the firepower to get this deal done. They have the personal connections, Gilmore and Cooks, and then Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn. Yeah. You know, you have that. You have the beauty of the facility as far as wooing the player. You have the offense that's come alive. You have
the city, which I think the city is a selling point.
Metroplex is magnificent.
It's not a hard sale.
It's not a hard sale. And on top of that, you also have the cap space to get this done.
Are you killing Dallas? What do you mean?
No, she's saying it's not a hard
sell. Oh, I thought you were saying
she said it's an easy sell.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I thought you were trying to say Dallas isn't a part of this.
No, when you look at it from a team and everything, there's some.
They're in the hunt.
People love to talk crap about the Cowboys and all that, but the reality is, that, I mean, you just walk in this place and it's amazing.
And just walk them around the locker room and meet with the players and the coaches. And it's like you said, it's not a hard sell. And the Cowboys have the cap space to get it done because it's not like they're trying to sign the guy to a 4-year, market setting deal. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to get him for the rest of the season. So you got the money, you got the power, you got the influence. Just get her done.
I think this is one of those moves that I think could really pay dividends for the Cowboys. I think they can 100%. Really use this player, and I think as time goes on, they will see how much they could use this player.
Yeah, even with what they haven't replaced that overshown yet, have they?
No, they haven't. and that's honestly knock on the guys.
It's Vanderesh.
Yeah, the guys that they have here have been doing an admirable job. This guy was not a linebacker. Bell was not a linebacker when the season started, he has done an admirable job. Absolutely. But as you get closer to the playoffs, and we talked about, you get into that weather where you have to run the ball. Yep. Guess what? There may be, if you're in that kind of weather, that means the other team has to run the ball too. And we haven't faced that kind of just pounding, relentless rushing attack to see whether Bell can really hold
and
up.
And if something happens, God forbid, from another injury,
you still need depth. If nothing else, you need depth.
You have nobody else really to take care of that.
And also, if nothing else, you'd keep him out of Philadelphia by keeping him here.
No doubt about it. That may be the most important part of this whole conversation.
There it is.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to start breaking down Cowboys versus Seahawks. That happens this Thursday. Till then, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?